You are listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast. We are back after, it's been like a month, I think, almost.
It felt like a month, yeah.
But thanks for tuning in. My name's Andrew, and with me as always, Cameron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Good
evening. Welcome back. We've had a little bit of summer holidays. Now we're back in the saddle and ready to talk about prophecy.
Oh, nice. And Corlin's here.
Yes. I didn't feel like it was summer holidays. I was just sitting there.
Doing nothing?
Like normal. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But yes, you know, I went away down to the island. Is COVID still a thing? Is that still going on? It's been like
well,
6 months.
We all had interprovincial time away, so that would...
Oh, man. Not me.
No?
Do you
no.
ever wake up and like, oh yeah, that's still going on. It's been 6 months. Yeah. For sure, I thought it'd be over by now.
Didn't see that coming.
What a segue. That's terrible. Man, I did not see that coming. We're talking about prophecy today. And you know what? I just sense it's going to be it's going to be a really good episode.
Do you have a pathetic word about
we've already been saying prophecy jokes. But anything going on in your guys' life? Do you want to share before we... I'm not trying to like bait you, but what's been going on? Nothing. We got a dog, so now I'm a dog owner. I feel like my family's complete now. Actually, my daughter Ruby said that. I feel like before we got Otis, we weren't complete. I'm like, oh dear, come on,
don't
give me
you
a
know
break.
About Jesus?
I'm like, he's gonna get hit by a car now, and it's gonna be devastating. My baby brother Otis. Oh man, but yeah, we got a dog, and I've been up at. Like 5:30 every day now, walking the family dog. It's great.
Nice.
Anyways.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So, anyone else want to share? Just trying to be personal, right? Anyways, if you are listening to this for the first time, we do this about once a week, and we talk about theology or doctrine or stuff that's in the Bible or what does it look like to follow Jesus. We try and make this as practical as possible. So we've spent a few weeks now talking about spiritual gifts. I think we did like just an overview of what are spiritual gifts. And then specifically we wanted to talk about, okay, what are the sign gifts, right? That's what they call them. So I'm just going to say the weird gifts, right? That, you know, people are like, okay, that's, no one thinks administration is weird. Mm-hmm. But like, what about speaking in tongues and healing and prophecy and all of these things? Are those like... still around today, and what does that actually look like? So I know we talked about speaking in tongues. I think that was the last episode we
I think
did.
So, yeah.
And so yeah. Today we want to talk about prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy? What are there prophets today? These are a whole bunch of questions we want to answer. Is prophecy different than it was before, like in the Old Testament? What does that look like? So I guess to start, and maybe I thought of this while I was on my way here, and maybe we already asked this question, but have you guys ever had someone like say to you, I feel like I have a prophetic word for you, or like, I feel like I have a
pathetic word,
not a pathetic word, a prophetic word, enunciate. Has that ever happened? I can say honestly, that has never happened to me. I've had people say like, I want to encourage you. You know, I was thinking about you and God, you know, God put you on my mind. And so just, you know, whether it's a verse or like an encouragement, I've had that. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll get into that. Is that a prophetic word? But I've never had anyone come up and specifically say like, I have a word for you. What about you guys?
I feel like I've had several growing up in a rather charismatic church, but none of them really attached because of the delivery method. But about 12 years ago, and I think I've shared before, you know, I was in a place in life that was really dark, felt quite hopeless, but had a dream one night of making some really hard choices, choosing between, in that particular dream, family, ministry, and then the next day went to an event where a woman just actually said, I have just a thought about you. If you don't mind just me sharing some encouragement. And she said, you're going to have some really hard choices to make. I just want you to know the Lord will give you wisdom. And so she had no idea. She didn't make it very weird, like I want to profit. But she gave that encouragement that I felt personally was like, I don't know, my spirit almost prophesying, like just that encouragement from God that was confirmed by another person without her knowing what I was dealing with. We didn't talk about it.
Yep.
She just gave a hug and went on her day, and it impacted my life, and I remember that, that point. So that would be my only real encouraging, prophetic, somewhat word that I truly felt genuine because it aligned with, you know, what I was dealing with, what I felt that God was doing in my life at the time.
Yep.
But I've had several of the waves of the arm. You know, I feel like the Lord is calling us to this, and, you know, yeah, several, but none that impacted as genuinely as the one I felt that was the most sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had anyone actually come up to me and be like, hey, I just have this prophetic word for you. I've had people point out directions they think my life will take, but it's more so seeing gifts that God's given me and be like, hey, like, you'd be a good teacher, or I think one day you might be a teacher or something like that, or I think one day this, right?
Yep.
But it's never been like, hey, like, I have a word from God for you. You're gonna teach a congregation of blah, blah, blah. Like, it's never been anything like that.
Yeah.
I think coming into the podcast, talking about prophecies actually is kind of nerve-wracking, because it's one of those things that, because as a young kid, I was never really taught about it other than, you know, it happened in the Bible. To me, it's just almost a foreign concept.
Yeah.
Because I've never had people come up to me and be like, hey, I have this prophetic word. So I haven't been taught super charismatically about it. I haven't been taught that it's not a thing. So it's just, I feel like I kind of just landed in this middle ground of like, oh, yeah, it's a thing. Cool.
Yeah, right.
It's good enough for me.
Yeah, totally. And I think, too, like, depending on the tradition you grew up in, your experience, I grew up in a Baptist church, and now, you know, we're, if you don't know, MB stands for Mennonite Brethren, and if you grew up in a super charismatic Pentecost, this would probably just be normal to you, like, what? Or maybe you would even see some of the abuses that we're going to talk about. But there's abuse on both sides, right? I think I grew up in a denomination and in a setting where it was kind of like, all of that is ridiculous, don't even think about it. And it was kind of like, so that's not right either, right? So but it does. Your upbringing and what tribe you belong to. I hate it when people say, oh, it's my tribe. I'm like, you're not living in, like, before Christ. Give me a break. Right. Whatever denomination or like, right, group you grew up in, it's going to shape your understanding. And so even my understanding has been challenged a little bit, like, because early on, probably like 5 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, all of that's ridiculous. It doesn't exist. And it's kind of like, well, let's actually look at what the scriptures say. So I remember even John Piper shared a story once when someone came up to him early on in his ministry, I have a prophetic word for you, your daughter's going to die. I remember that. And he shares about, like, that really rocked him. And then it didn't happen. So he was kind of like, what was that about? Like, this crazy lady came up to him after a service and was like, Pastor John, I got a vision or
maybe
a word.
It was a threat, not a prophetic.
Yeah, maybe it was like, arrest that lady. How is she going to die? By me. No. But he said that, I think she even maybe gave a date, like, your daughter's going to die June 13th or whatever it was. And,
oh, wow.
And up until that day, he was kind of like, okay, is this from God? And then it didn't happen. He went, man, what was that? So I think hopefully we want to answer, like, what does the gift of prophecy look like in the church today? Is it that? Is it me coming up and being like, Cam, you're going to get cancer in 5 years, the Lord told me? Or, like, what is it? So I think maybe a good place to start would be, like, what is when we see prophecy or prophets in the Bible, specifically, let's go back to the Old Testament and start there. Who were the prophets? What was their role? Like, what was, because I think then we want to ask, okay, is it exactly the same today or is it different? So in the Old Testament, like, so what? Why were there prophets?
Yeah, and the Old Testament is interesting because it were introduced in Deuteronomy, actually, to the first kind of wording and language around prophet. But when you read through any, like, chapter 18 is a good place to start. I read through it this morning again last night, and it's really, I was going to say the word I kept receiving, but
yes,
the resounding thing you see through that is truth teller, like, someone who is pointing people back to the covenant, reminding the people of their God's promise,
yep,
their responsibility and the fallout of lack of responsibility, or the fallout of what would come if they do not abide by the arrangement agreement, the relationship with the God of the Bible. And so when you see that as a foundation of the prophet's mission or their work, and then what prophecy is, I don't know how to attach that to what it's almost become today as biblical fortune telling or future telling is something I wrote, because what I see through Scripture is a prophet speaking to the people, reminding them
sure.
of something they know that they've often fallen away from.
Yep.
And then God's promise of what will happen if they choose not to revert back to the relationship to which was agreed upon.
Yeah.
So essentially yeah. trying to put it really simply, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is prophets are people, if we're speaking about the Old Testament here, people from the Old Testament who God uses to speak through and tell others of God's imminent judgment or punishment of people's sin and the possible redemption that can come if they turn back to him.
Yes, but also, but it's not like, I don't think it's brand new revelation. Like, they're not showing up with the, hey, guess what now? It's almost as though, and when I read it, they're showing up saying, remember the promise of God. Remember what you said, and the promise being obedience, repentance, righteousness will equal this, and the lack of that will equal this.
Yep.
And so I don't see like, hey, guess what now? And the people being, oh my goodness, we never saw that coming. It seems as though throughout the Old Testament is reminder after reminder, and God sending these prophets to the people. And I can't imagine, like, you read Samuel and his frustration, like, come on, like we're number 100 years in, 1,000 years in, why are we still having to remind you of the promises that you made to God and that God made to you?
Yeah, like I think you're both right. The word, here's my geeky, the word prophet in Hebrew literally means spokesperson or speaker. And the idea behind, you know, God raises up, and even, you know, the book of Judges is interesting because I think Judges were a sort of a prophet. God would raise up a judge to call people back, and then that person would be done with their ministry, right? And so prophets were people that were chosen by God to be his mouthpieces, almost, who would speak on behalf of God. And this is really important, because you have to understand, in the Old Testament, not everyone who loved and followed God had the Holy Spirit. That didn't happen until the book of Acts. And so think about that. Like, the nation of Israel, you know, like a million people after they leave Egypt, they didn't all have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit would come and, you know, descend, whatever, anoint someone for, so, okay, Isaiah, you have the Holy Spirit now, and you are going to speak the very words of God. And call, you know, and then Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, right? They were anointed by God to be his spokesperson. That's why what they said is in our Bibles, because it's, and that's why a lot of time when they say things, they say like, thus saith the Lord. Like, what I'm about to say is literally God speaking to you. So I wrote down a few. So Isaiah 1:20, Isaiah says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So that's Isaiah. Like, can you imagine if someone said that to you? Like, you'd be like, well, you're a crazy person. Like, but he said, what I'm saying to you, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And Jeremiah 1:7, Jeremiah, another prophet. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So Jeremiah, I'm going to send you whatever I tell you to say, you say. So that's why... They could say stuff like that. If you read any of the even the minor prophets, they say things that you're like, oh, it sounds like God himself is speaking right now. Because they would say like, hey, listen, this is what God's saying to you. And no one decided like, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to be a prophet. Like, no one did that, right? God specifically. So I think there's a difference here, and we'll get to that, because so many people today are like, ooh, I wish I was a prophet. I'm going to be a prophet. It's like, well, no one in the Old Testament ever decided that, you know what? I think I'm going to be a prophet. God specifically chose people.
Yeah, he called them to it.
Yeah, even Moses, right? If you remember Moses, like, God, I'm not, this is in Exodus 4, I'm not eloquent. I can't, like, I'm slow of speech, and God says, who made your mouth, basically? Like, I'm going to use you, right? Even Amos, if you remember, when Amos was told, like, hey, shut up, stop prophesying, he says, well, God chose me, and so I can't stop talking, right? So no one chooses to be a prophet, and I think the reason is, if you read, like, Isaiah and that, okay, Isaiah, you're going to go and prophesy, and guess what? No one's going to listen to you. Like, who on earth would decide that? Yeah, I'm going to do that.
And you'll likely be killed.
Yeah, right? And you're going to walk around naked and do all these weird things that are going to show people their sin. Oh, sign me up for that, right? Like, hey, Jeremiah, you're going to be thrown into a well and sink into mud up to your waist? No one would choose that. So I think it's really important to remember God specifically chose men and women. I mean, if you look in the Old Testament, Miriam, the sister of Moses, she was called a prophetess. There were other prophetesses in the Old Testament, but men and women that God said, no, I'm going to use you. You don't have a choice. You have to, like, no, and right? So,
and I like how you say they were given empowerment by the Holy Spirit, because we see a boldness in these statements, much like we see in Acts when the Spirit descends on, you know, Peter, and he's given a boldness to preach, because it is an offensive message often that they're bringing, reminding people of their sin, calling repentance, and doing both, explaining consequence and explaining blessing as a result of that righteous living. And I just, it's very much a reminder. They are telling the truth. They are not, and sorry, just the future that they're predicting, quote unquote, is it's talked about throughout Scripture. It's we see that repeating itself over and over through Israel and their journey to righteousness.
Sure.
The cycle of prophets coming and reminding.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how, and we think it's interesting because we see the end from the beginning, but we can appreciate how they would need to be reminded. They're not flipping through their Bible and reading up on the history.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and you guys already touched on it, but you know what the point of the prophets were, right? They, like Cam, you said, they reminded people of the covenant. So they taught, you know, moral and ethical behavior based on the law, basically. They constantly pointed
at law in the Old Testament.
They would point out sin and idolatry. Hey, guys, remember, you're breaking the covenant. You're worshiping false gods. Like, come back, repent. We could give lots of, I mean, Malachi 4:4. Malachi says, remember the law of my servant Moses and everything that I commanded him. So they're just example after example. You know, we're in the book of Micah this week, and Micah constantly is, hey, you've broken the covenant. Repent, turn back. Like, all of the prophets were, you know, ethical and moral teachers, basically, teaching people what the law was and how they had broken it. But then they also did. They predicted future events concerning Israel and sometimes even other nations. My mind's in Micah, because this week we're in Micah chapter 1, but Micah predicts that Assyria is going to come, right? Hey, guys, if you don't repent, Assyria is going to come, and he's going to level you guys out. And then it happened several years later. Assyria came, and the northern kingdom was completely wiped out. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half of chapter 1, Micah says, hey, Jerusalem, like, take notice of what's going to happen in Israel, so you guys have a chance to repent. And then Assyria did come down, and they didn't quite destroy, right? If you remember the story, the angel comes and kills all the mm-hmm. Assyrians, and then the southern kingdom doesn't fall until, like, 200 years later. So prophets often predicted the future, and then even predicted the Messiah, right? There's like 600 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. Hey, mm-hmm. he's going to be born in Bethlehem. This guy's coming. Who's going to, right? He's going to be born to a virgin, and all these prophecies about future events. And then prophets were also people who lived kind of righteously as a way to, like, point people, or did these weird, right, Isaiah, or, you know, lie on one side for 7 years to show this, and then, you know, cook food made over human dung, and all these weird things as a way to, like, point out to people, like, symbolically, you guys are, they were watchmen, basically, like, right, calling people, this is what you're doing. And so that's kind of what a prophet did. Now, it's interesting, So then there was all these false prophets, right? Which is super interesting. Throughout the Old Testament, there were all these prophets that would arise. And so even, I think you mentioned Deuteronomy, there's criteria given. Okay, here's how you know if someone actually is from me, God says. If a prophet ever spoke in the name of any other god, like, hey guys, I have a word from you from Baal. It's like, well, you're clearly a false prophet. I think it's in Deuteronomy. It says, even if they perform signs and wonders, which is super, we'll get to that in a minute for today, because today it's almost like, but they performed a miracle, so clearly they're from God. Even in the Old Testament, it says, even if they perform miracles, don't listen to them. If they practice sorcery or divination or any other false practice, God says, don't listen to them. Prophets only speak when God tells them to speak, which is super interesting. They don't speak out of their own knowledge, basically. God tells them what to say. And then it says, if a prophet has low morality, in Micah 3, you know, if prophets prophesy for hire, hey, I'll give you a good, which is really fascinating that there were prophets who did that. I'll give you a good word if you pay me enough. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, well, here's 100 shekels or whatever. Okay, well, God's going to bless you. It's like
Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, just buy my book and then God will bless you. If they were drunkards, Isaiah 28 says, if you see your prophets getting drunk, well, they're not for me. If they were profane or wicked, if they deceived or defrauded people, if they committed adultery, Jeremiah 23 says, if you see your prophets committing adultery, they're not for me. Mm-hmm. Or, this is the super interesting one, if your prophets preached peace and prosperity, mm-hmm. Ezekiel 15, Jeremiah 14, Micah 3, in several spots it says, if you've got prophets who go around going, don't worry, everything's great, peace, you're going to prosper.
Well, Jeremiah 28 says, if they prophesy peace, the burden of proof is on them. And yeah. It has come true or they're a false prophet.
Yeah, right? So it's kind of like, ooh. And then if they predicted things that didn't come true. So if a prophet said, like, hey guys, in 5 years this is going to happen, and then 5 years went by and it didn't happen, the people were actually supposed to stone them to death, like false prophet. So I find that super interesting, that even back in the day, in the Old Testament, people still had to use discernment. Right? Because I feel like we think that, oh, they just followed blindly whatever anyone told them. They were so dumb back then. Well, no. God actually said, listen, there's going to be people that try and deceive you. Here's some tests that you can do. And it was a little bit harsher back then. If they're just kill them. If they're false prophets, then stone them to death. And so that's what prophecy was, I guess, in the Old Testament. These men and occasionally women who were called by God, I want you to speak to my people. Now, what about today? Is prophecy the exact same thing today? Or not? And why? Should we kill false prophets today? Yeah! Don't answer that! So what is the gift of prophecy then? Is it exactly the same? Or do we see a change take place?
As a bit of a serious cop-out, yes and no. Yes, it is the same, but no, it's not the same.
Boo.
The reason I say that is because I think that, yes, it is the same in the sense that God uses people to speak into other people's lives and or remind them of what God has done and will do and yep. continue to do. But no, because I think that compared to the examples that we see in the Bible, prophecy is generally speaking overwhelmingly normal. And I say that because anybody who knows about the gospel and has one of those moments, I think anyways, has one of those moments where they have no idea what to say to a person. And then before they know it, they're talking about the gospel or citing scripture about the gospel. And they didn't remember that they had even studied that passage. And that person hears about the gospel, then I would say that there's a good chance, as long as it was actually biblically correct and whatnot and theologically correct and all of those, you know, components line up, that was the Holy Spirit using you to speak into someone's life and remind them of what God has done. But I think that generally speaking, anyone who reminds someone about the gospel is speaking, and the Holy Spirit will... Okay, anyone is speaking. Yeah, that makes sense. The Holy Spirit can use anyone who's willing and able to go and serve, right? And yeah. I think that that's essentially boiled down, I think that's essentially what the prophets were doing too, is someone who is willing to go and serve God.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm navigating two verses, in Hebrews, where Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, long ago, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. And then you hold that intention with Acts, where it says, everyone will prophesy in the last days, everyone will dream dreams. So is there a difference than the physical office of prophet today and someone with an inspired word from God, from the Holy Spirit, that they feel is for the people now? Yeah, there's a difference. I don't know where – I have not done enough reading to land on, like, is there a prophet today? Because Hebrews kind of says, well, Jesus filled that office. And then you ask the reason why, like, why prophecy today? And especially if it conflicts with any part of this wonderful text we have in the Bible, this complete revelation of God, Jesus, the end, the beginning, what would be the purpose then of a prophet giving a new word from God that then should be added to the Bible?
Yep.
If it is the office of a prophet delivering word, like every, you know, and I've seen prophet this, you know, coming to a screen near you. Well, wouldn't anything that person produces have to be added to the Bible, like from a biblical worldview? Yes, but often there's been contradiction to Scripture.
Yep.
Now, can that word, that person have prophecy for the church today based on what the Bible says? Yes, absolutely, yep. I believe that.
Yeah, I think you have to do a lot of... I'm trying to coin a phrase here, like hermeneutical gymnastics. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
To try and make the case that no, there are, like, the position of prophet exists today, because and I've had conversations with people like this trying to defend no, apostle so and so or prophet so and so. It's real. Like those offices, you know, they call it. The fivefold ministry, right? From Ephesians 2. Ephesians 4. God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to the church for the building up of the church. People, you know, I'm a fivefold ministry guy, so apostles and prophets exist for the church. But then you begin to, like, dig in a little bit, and then you have to do this gymnastics to make the case for the position of prophet today. You know, okay, well, do they have the same authority as the Old Testament? Yes. Okay, so should we add their words to the Bible? Well, no, because it's a different level of... Well, where does it say it's a different level of authority, right? So, and then I had a conversation with a guy, this was probably a year ago, about this very topic. And okay, so if a so-called prophet today wrote something down, should we add that to the Bible? Because if it's literally, these are the words of God, and his answer was... You have to say yes.
Right.
And he did. He said, well, I don't see, if it doesn't contradict the Bible, I don't see why we can't add that. Blah! It's like, whoa, reep, reep, reep. Like, and I actually said, I think our conversation is over. Like, that's crazy. But you have to, right? If you want to make the case for, no, there are prophets today, then you have to say, well, then they speak with the same level of authority. And so... My position is no, there are not modern-day prophets, just like there are not modern-day apostles, because no one meets the criteria of an apostle today, and we don't need apostles today. And so, again, this is important to remember, because Jesus came, and his death and his resurrection was this start of this new covenant. So the Israelites lived under the old covenant, and it was based on law, and they were a theocracy, right? They were... that their whole, it was based on this ethnic border land, promised land. It would be like saying, like, you know, Canada, the nation of Canada, we're God's chosen. He's our leader. They were a theocracy. And God said, if you keep the law, I will bless you. If you break the law, I'll punish you. And so Jesus came and he says, okay, I've fulfilled that. There's this new covenant in my blood. It's based on grace, mercy, salvation. My kingdom is not, it doesn't have, you know, land borders. It's all over the world. My kingdom is my people. And then he ascends into heaven, and Jesus gives authority to his apostles, and then the birth of the church happened. And when you read the book of Acts, this is the church starting. And I tell people, you got to be really careful when you read the book of Acts, that is it descriptive or is it prescriptive? Is the book of Acts telling us this is how everything should run forever? Or is it describing, hey, this is how it happened? Like, mm-hmm. Because I think we hear that, oh, they met in their homes? We should always meet in our homes. Well, is that what that means?
But ignore the fact that people die for not giving
full. Yeah, right. Yeah, they were beheaded for their faith. Should you be beheaded for your... Yeah, right? And so then there's a guy named Agabus in Acts chapter 21, and he's called a prophet. And people go, see? Agabus was a prophet. There are prophets today. Okay. And you're right. Agabus in Acts chapter 1 made some predictions of future events. I think he predicted, Paul, you're going to be bound, and you're going to be dragged. And it happened. So you go... Okay, so was Agabus a prophet? So keep in mind, though, there's this massive transition that's taking place between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Like, in the early church, at the start, there were only Jewish people, and then Gentiles come in. And then should we circumcise them? And do they eat food? So there's all these transitions taking place. So I think, yeah, Agabus was a prophet. And maybe early on in the church, before the New Testament was written, were there prophets that helped, you know, kind of carry along with the apostles? Sure. But that doesn't mean, right, well, then it's forever. Mm-hmm. I think you got to be really careful when you read the Bible. Like, is it describing what happened? Or is it prescribing how it should always happen, right? Because in Acts, someone lies about their tithe and they're struck dead. Is that how it should always happen? Well, no. Because we'd have a lot of dead bodies on Sundays, right? I totally tithed. But we're just told that's what happened, right? So, and then even in Ephesians 2, it says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And I always use this example, like a foundation, right, is the first thing that you lay, and then you build a house on top of that. You don't, like, after the first floor is built, you think we need another foundation? It's like, well, no, the foundation's already been built. And so what Paul is saying is that the role of apostle and prophet was absolutely foundational to the church, but I think he's saying that's been built, and now it's not ongoing. We don't need it to be continually ongoing. So,
and I think that's where prophecy comes into play today, because just no different than any generation before Christ, we need reminders constantly of,
yep,
our commitment to living righteously, our relationship with God, with the church, with others, and even ultimately what could happen if we wander away. So I think in some sense, and it holds the tension between, like, words of encouragement and really thoughtful engagement in people's lives. Because I've had, like, you talked before we went live about folks coming up and just being very encouraging, and maybe it even aligning with something that's going on in your heart. Like my example, and I think that is forms of prophecy today, because I've seen the other. I've seen prophecies about COVID-19, when it's going to end, why it's here. And I had an engagement with a person who posted on Facebook, you know, this prophet said that it's going to end on this day. And I just said, like, what if it doesn't? You know what I mean? Like, this is some pretty interesting scripture around, like we just mentioned, prophecies that don't come true. And the response was along the lines of, you know, it might just encourage faith. Like, well, that seems like an easy cop out also.
Or it might destroy someone's faith.
It could absolutely destroy someone's faith. And so I think as we navigate this, you know, we use discernment based on what we're taught in Scripture, but also, like, ask yourself, what for? Like, why is this prophecy or this, you know, what evidence would it be? Because maybe sometimes in our own life, we have felt God speaking to us. And if we were to share that with our friends and family, could it be prophecy? Absolutely. Could it be encouragement? Yes. But I think the onus is on us to, like, go back to Scripture, to really search our hearts and say, is this of the Lord? Because it also says in Acts, in the last days, there are going to be countless false prophets. And without spiritual discernment, anything that tickles your ear and just, it sounds good, like, wow, I'd really like for that to come to pass,
Yep.
That's easy to latch onto. And like I said, it's evolved into some sort of a blessing. It's always about what's good coming. Rarely have I seen through my Facebook research around, you know, rarely do I see an encouragement that's like, listen, guys, I feel like as the church, we're really failing. We better get back on board because we are living in the last day. Like, you don't see those too often. You see, man, I really feel like God's doing something.
Yeah, he's going to activate our next level or whatever.
You know, we're that close. We just got to go deeper, whatever that means. Like, but hardly is it, man, I feel like the church is really, we're in a stagnant spot. You know, I feel like we're, maybe more of us are living in sin than we're willing to admit. Let's use that to then, because, you know, if we get on board and live righteously, then we could see the promise. Like, that would be a prophecy that I'd be like, man, that hits home, right? Like, I think that's something we should really start to unpack as a church.
Yeah, and I saw, like, Kenneth Copeland predicted the end of coronavirus, like, 4 times. And he's been wrong every time.
Pretty much commanded it.
And he said, and then he, like, literally on stage said, it's over, guys. Like, it's done. We defeated it. It's kind of like, well, it's actually not over. And here's where I think Christians get real dishonest. People who believe in modern day prophets, and like I said, there's all this flip flop. Like, and there's you're fooling yourselves, right? So I've heard guys, you know, a pastor say, you know, God told me that we're going to raise $1 million or whatever it is, and the comment was like, and you know, if I'm wrong. You know, we're under the new covenant, so it's not a big deal. It's kind of like, wow, that's such a cop-out. And then I've heard someone say, you know, Amos 3:7, the Lord God does nothing without revealing a secret to his servants, the prophets. And he said, see? And I said, okay, but you're quoting an Old Testament prophet. So if they're wrong, do we do what we're told to do in the Old Testament? Well, no, we're under the new covenant. Well, then don't quote Amos 3:7, right? Mm-hmm. Because in Deuteronomy, if they're wrong, we kill them. Do we kill people today who claim to be prophets? Well, no, because of the blood of Jesus. Well, don't quote then saying God always reveals. Did he always reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets in the Old Testament? Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's just actually, it's really dishonest to pick and choose. See, that's why there's prophets today, but it's okay if they're wrong, right? Like, I've heard that, so, you know, I hate naming names, but but so Bill Johnson and Bethel, they have a school of prophecy, a school of supernatural ministry, and I have heard him, and again, not out of context, because everyone says, oh, Andrew, you're just taking what they say out of context. No, I'm not. They've said, it's okay for you to be wrong when you prophesy.
Just try it, man.
Just try it. And, you know, and I've heard even Chris Vallatin, he is the resident capital P prophet at Bethel. And he says, I'm wrong like 70% of the time, but it's okay because I have faith that I'm just saying. And I'm like, well, you can't claim. It's so dishonest to say I'm a prophet equal to the prophet in the Old Testament. But it's okay if I'm wrong. No, it's not.
And I'm wrong most of the time.
And no, it's not. If you're going to claim that, then we should kill you. Because God took prophecy, and he does, super seriously. Mm-hmm. He said, if you get one thing wrong, there was no like, ooh, 9 out of 10, that's pretty good. It was like, no, if you get one, if you predict something and it's wrong, you die. Mm-hmm. And yet I see that all the time. And so Bill Johnson shares in a sermon, you know, he gathers a group of students around him. Okay, I want you to all go around the room. And say the first thing that comes into your mind. What would Jesus say if you walked into the room? And people go, oh, I think he would say this. And they go around the circle. And he says, congratulations, you all just prophesied.
Our thoughts are like, not God's
thoughts. Like, boo. We're not told to just like, hey, guess what Jesus would say. And that's prophecy. That is so not biblical, right? And yet that's how it's being taught. As like, whatever comes into your mind, that's clearly a prophetic word. And everybody can be a prophet, and it doesn't matter if you're wrong. So
it should be like the school of encouraging thoughts.
So here's the deal. Like I believe that the office or the role of prophet is done. It is closed. Are there prophets today? No. And I remember I preached a sermon on that one, and people got pretty mad at me. I said, if anyone comes up to you and says they're a prophet, they're a liar. Because I just strongly believe that. Jesus... he fulfilled that, right? And the Bible fulfills that. We don't need
We have to be okay with that, even if we don't fully understand how to believe it, just because the Bible's a closed book in that
sure.
way. So we have to believe that there are no new secrets. Now, the
yeah.
Lord to reveal himself in different ways to different people, I truly believe in, because we see an evidence of Jesus who uses parables to have people become aware of what's happening. So I believe that today people see and Jesus is revealed to them, God's revealed to them in ways that they understand.
Yeah.
Is that prophecy? Yeah, likely.
Yeah.
But yeah, the book is closed. So for you to believe there's a prophet today, like we just unhatched, we're going to have to cut off the last verse in Revelation where it says, you know, don't add.
Yeah.
And then start adding and then
yeah.
create a new committee, a new canon where we decide.
Yeah.
And because, that's the process.
Yeah.
And so that
is... Yeah, if you're going to be consistent, then that naturally is the conclusion. You can't say like, well, no, there are prophets today, but it's different. So no, we don't add their words to the Bible. And yet they speak with the same authority, but you know, it's like...
Because the world views that have established new prophets have created their own books.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. So there, and again, people are, whatever, you can get mad. You shouldn't name names. But like, so Sarah Young, she's this woman that wrote a book called Jesus Calling. And this book is literally devotionals where she said, Jesus himself told me this. We should add Jesus Calling to the Bible then. If Jesus literally gave you new information and you say that I just grabbed my pen and I wrote down literally what Jesus told me to tell people. Okay, well that's scripture then. Like, and you're right, Revelation 22 says, I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city. And I shared that with somebody and they said, oh, that only applies to the book of Revelation. But if you read Proverbs 30 verses 5 and 6, Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 2, Deuteronomy 12, 32, over and over and over in the Bible, God says, don't add what I'm telling you. Don't add anything to it.
So were these devotionals like prophetic words in the sense of like actual new information, or was she just like stating stuff that...
I haven't read it, but oh, okay. I've read the what do you want to call it?
Preface,
the synopsis of the book, and it's like Sarah Young sat down and Jesus told her what to write, and it's these little one-page devotionals, but it's written as like a letter mm-hmm. from like, dear you... I am, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this in your life
yeah.
from Jesus. And it's kind of like, ooh,
so then,
wow.
Maybe to avoid some confusion, what does it look like nowadays then when the Holy Spirit does give us something to say to someone?
That's good.
Because I think that some people listening might hear that we're saying anyone who says that God has told them to say something, they're lying.
Let's
they're
stone
wrong.
Them.
They deserve death. Like, because
yeah.
I don't think that's
no.
right either.
Nope.
I think that where we need to use our discernment, and God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us discern and has given us the Bible. But what then do we do with even when God gives us in our own lives a word? Or we feel called to say something.
Yeah. And I think that's where my understanding of the gift of prophecy is different than, being a prophet, right? Because like Cam said, like this, the Bible is closed. God is not revealing new things about himself. Everything that we need to know about who God is, and obviously there's mystery that we'll never know until eternity, mm-hmm. but what God wants to reveal to us is it's done. So I would say there is no new revelation. However, there is, illumination, where God, when you hear from God through scripture, or God impresses on you maybe a new insight or a new application about that, or even like God, the Holy Spirit, I just need to encourage Corland. I feel like all of a sudden out of nowhere, I need to call him. Is that the Holy Spirit? Yeah, totally. But it's not the Holy Spirit going, hey, tell Corland this new thing about God that no one's known before. I think, and that's unfortunately what a lot of like prophecy is today. Guys, I got a fresh word that's not in here. And even again, I don't,
Yeah, yeah.
Even, yeah, Bethel and Bill Johnson, they've said, okay, we got to get, I'm holding up the Bible, you can't see it, but we need to get beyond this, yeah, guys. Or even people have said, hey, the Logos, the Word of God, is really great, but we need, like, fresh stuff.
Yeah.
God doesn't do that today. I'm confident of that. God has given us everything that we need. That's what 2 Timothy says. Like, the Word of God is living and active, and it's useful for correcting, rebuking, admonishing, so that you can be complete. Like, there's nothing that we go, man, I would be a more complete Christian if I just got, like, a new word. Well, the Bible says you don't need that.
Yeah, if I can jump in real quick.
Yeah.
No new revelation that we will not find in Scripture, but new and continuous, and to use the word fresh, ways that God, through His Holy Spirit, is drawing people back to Him, to the Scripture. I am studying some indigenous culture, and one amazing writer says, you know, I grew up with this belief, I had this experience that paved the way to my understanding of the gospel and Jesus' sacrifice for me, and that legend, folklore in my culture paved this way, and Jesus reached me through that. Mm-hmm. But the end of the book says, pulled me back, you know, found me, rescued me to a position and a place of coming to a saving grace of knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I found that so amazing, because what happens is, people take that experience. For him, it was swimming in a river, and they build their theology and doctrine on that experience, not realizing that is just no difference than a farming parable, where Jesus uses that analogy to bring people into a saving knowledge. We in the 20th century rest on that experience and build a doctrine around it, open a school about it, and host some nights about that event, not realizing that was just a miraculous way that God, and through the Holy Spirit, is reaching people and pulling them back to him. So we drift off, and then and I think that's what's happening right now, because we see movements, you know, whether they're prophetic movements or not, around an event, but not realizing that that was, like, you know, I think of these, I've been fishing all weekend, so, like, we're being not baited, but we're being brought back to God through these experiences, and we can't rest in that experience and wait for the next experience. We have to just realize that that event pulls us back to where we should be, and sit with our theology and our doctrine and our church around that gospel.
Yeah,
I think something else to recognize and realize, Andrew, you've talked about it quite a bit, how God is calling a people back to him, not just you. And a lot of modern prophecy, or a lot of people who would claim to be prophets, they might be speaking to people in general, but they very much so self-center that prophecy to, you just have to do this, instead of speaking to the people. And any prophecy that I'm aware of from the Bible, the prophets speak to a general people. And yes, they use the language of you and whatnot, but that's in the sense of you people. And it's modern prophecy with quotation marks, is very self-derived and very, what can I gain from this, rather than, as we've all said, remember what God has done, turn back to him, repent. It's very much so, hey, if you were to give just a little bit more, God has more waiting for you. And I think that that's a, or can be an easy way to discern whether or not someone's falsely prophesying about something, is if it's solely about you, it might just be a word of encouragement, not a prophecy.
Yeah. And I've even heard people say, oh, well, there's a difference between a prophetic word and a word of knowledge. And again, I think it's these, like, hermeneutical gymnastics you have to do to, like, so then you get a guy who gets up and does a cold reading of a room. I got a word of knowledge. Someone with a whose name starts with a D or a K, and you're like, oh yeah, that's me. And you know what I mean? Like, that's fortune telling. So in 1 Corinthians 14, then Paul says what prophecy is. He says, well, he actually doesn't, but he says, this is how we're supposed to do. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And then he says, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. And then later on he says, tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. Hmm. So prophecy was meant to build up the church, to encourage people for their consolation, and it's not for unbelievers. Prophecy is meant for believers. That I go, because again, it's, you know, I think that I go to Corlin and I say, hey man, God really impressed on me, you know, to encourage you with this verse or whatever it is. Or, you know, I've seen that even in preaching sometimes. I believe that God can, prophetically speak to people. Like there was an example of a guy who came to church and he was, he had made a commitment, you know, when he was a kid or whatever, and he was not saved and he came. This happened a few years ago. And I was preaching and blah, blah, blah. And I made this example of like, maybe, you know, someone who, you know, you said a prayer 40 years ago and you've never followed Jesus, and he's sitting there, and literally 40 years ago he had said a prayer and had never and he went like jaw dropped, like, oh, how did Andrew know? Like, he's speaking, and I didn't. I had no idea, right? And yet, is that God speaking through me to someone specifically? Yeah, I have tons of examples like that where someone comes up, were you spying on me this week? How did you know that? I didn't. Yeah. That's God, and God wants to, you know, and that man became a Christian. It's really encouraging because he just said, like, I feel like God directly spoke to me. Like, why 40 years? Why not 35? Why didn't you say 20 years? I don't know. I just used an example, right?
But that's a good example, I think, because it led, God through that led that individual to repentance, not to give money to try and get more.
I should have. And buy my book and you can.
That's interesting that you phrase it like that, because I think to the street corner, you know, blowhorn type evangelism tactics that are probably founded on, you know, the prophet crying in the wilderness. But I guess you miss the fact that, yeah, they're actually speaking to everyone who has a knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's probably walked away versus what I've seen even on my time on the downtown east side of someone on the corner prophesying of God's impending doom and blessing to people who are like, what the heck? Like, I don't understand.
I've never even opened a Bible. What are you talking about?
And so can that work? I don't know. God's pretty merciful. I won't say it doesn't, but you may be missing the mark. In that sense, if prophecy is truly about the encouragement of the church, and then it can really blend into, like you said, with pastoring and teaching, because people can, God will speak through that spoken word to people and impress upon their hearts repentance, usually, encouragement. And so those evidences through that spoken word would have to point back to what the Bible says. And so that's actually really encouraging, because when you frame it like that, you can see it happening more and more in the church, where it's wonderful if someone stands up and be like, guys, I really feel like and I think I've heard it here, even in this church, like, you know, we have to get to a point where collectively we are living well, and this is going to be the representation of the church to the Fort St. John, to the city. We have that responsibility. So that is prophecy from coming from the pulpit, saying like, come on guys, we can do better. We've seen what happens when we do, and we know what'll happen if we don't.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of what I meant when I said earlier that prophecy today is overwhelmingly normal, is because the church is called to remind people of what God's done.
Yep.
And if you're doing that, in a nutshell, there's prophecy in that. Not some special vision that God has given you, but general knowledge that he's given to the church. And it's a reminder of that.
But that's not sexy enough. See, that's the problem. And that's why Paul says, like, I wish you guys would all do this, basically. He says, like, you guys should all be prophesying. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that, like, you should all go to school and learn how to be a prophet. I think there's this normalcy to it.
Yeah.
Right? And someone who's walking in step with the Spirit, is in the Word, knows what God's will is and what he would say.
Amen.
For me, it shouldn't be strange for me to be like, yeah, Corlin, you came to my mind, and I don't know, I was reading in the Word today and the Holy Spirit just told me to encourage you in this. It shouldn't be like, Corlin, I you know, saw a vision of you 5 years from now and this and that. And can God do that? I mean, sure, he can do whatever he wants, But I don't think that's normal. I don't think it should be like, now we got to chase after that. And, you know, people, I hear so many ridiculous things like, oh, I stepped outside my door and then a blue bird flew by and blue is the color of the sweater that my dad wore when he died. And I think God was telling, I'm like, oh boy, maybe, that's a stretch.
I wouldn't say that that's necessarily prophecy. I would say like God can reveal himself in crazy ways.
Sure. Yeah. But I think we're like obsessed with that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's kind of like
emotion and event. So like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. And so here's the, and I'm looking, we've been like an hour. So should we, like, does God still reveal, you know, future events to people today? You know, so someone who says, hey, I had a vision of a prophetic vision, you know, 5 years from now, this is going to happen. Are those people crazy? Do we listen to them? Is that actually needed today? What do you think? Because I would say that that's not the gift of prophecy in the New Testament. The gift of prophecy is, you know, read all of 1 Corinthians 14 even.
I would be cautious on the fortune-telling aspect of it.
Yeah.
But, like you said earlier, you can. It's a pretty blurry line between reading the room and I'm pretty decent about that. And I can, you know, prophesy today that if our church deviated from the scriptural teaching that we've been blessed with, the church will eventually close. We will be ineffective and stagnant within 5 years.
Yeah.
Prophecy from the Lord, or just what will naturally occur if we don't stick to an attempt at righteous living or living through repentance and you know, living like that then produces, and that's a miracle of following Jesus. It's not an equation like following Jesus equals this.
Yeah.
But in my experience, when I've surrendered, my life has been better, but not better as defined by the world. Sometimes it's been through poverty, sickness, and struggle, but still better. And that better is produced by an eternal hope through Christ Jesus that bubbles into a response for me, at least emotionally, that says, wow, when I live and surrender, my life feels better,
yeah.
Even if it doesn't look better.
Yeah, if you read enough newspapers, you can be a pretty good prophet.
Sure.
There's a prophecy that someone sent me. Oh, this is amazing. And he says, like, guys, I feel like in September things are going to get way worse. Yeah, that's because like 40 doctors said that. So you can just throw out guys, there's going to be huge upheaval in the states in November. Well, obviously, it's an election year. Like, you know, and I've told people, you know what, as a pastor here and knowing people's stories, I could do that. And I don't want to say that everybody who does that is manipulating and trying to, I think they're just, maybe some are genuinely trying to encourage people. But I could very easily on a Sunday, just knowing people's stories and knowing.
There could be layoffs next year.
Yeah,
folks.
Guys, some of you who are farming, I just want to, you know, I know it's been a hard year. Well, yeah, duh. And so I think,
So do you think that God gives prophetic visions to individuals today then? Like I don't mean brand new revelation, but like, do you think that he can use stuff in the world or dreams or whatever to show individuals what is coming or might come?
Yep. I do. But I don't think it's normal. I don't. Because even, and I had to talk with someone about this, like, oh, why don't we see more resurrections today from people? It's all over the scriptures. And I said, really? Is it though? There's like maybe 8 to 10 resurrections in the entire Bible.
Yeah.
And yet, we just claim it was all over the place. Was it though? Like, I think God moves in the miraculous, but I think it's not. It's the reason it's miraculous is that it's not normal. Hmm. And so I think God can. And again, to say that, you know, God can only do this, God can do whatever he wants. He's God, right?
Make that into a t-shirt.
God can do whatever he wants. If he wants to show up in a vision to someone, great. But what I would say is that that's not normally how he operates, mm-hmm. right? So you hear stories about Muslims who have never, and you know, Jesus shows up in a dream and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the dream's over and they go, whoa, who was that? So I would never say to someone like, you ate some bad chili the night before. That's not Jesus. No, he can do that. My mom has had a whatever you want to call it, a divine encounter like that. And so it was right before she was going in for like surgery that actually ended up, she lost her voice because of that. It was this surgery on her throat. And I think I've shared this story before, right? Mm-hmm. The cloud above her bed mm-hmm. that her and my dad saw. And then God said to her, my grace is sufficient for you for what's to come. And she's held on to that. Now, has that ever happened again in the last 10 years? Nope. And has my mom like, I need to have that again? Nope. She's good.
Sure.
It was just this. So I wouldn't say like, mom, you're crazy. I would say, wow, God knew that you were going to go through a lot of pain. And he, and I love that in that, in this vision that she had, God even quoted the Bible. I love that. Right. He says, my grace, that's from, wherever it is, man. but that's from scripture. My grace is sufficient for you. And so it wasn't like, psst, Barb, the Indianapolis Colts are going to win the Super Bowl this year. It was like, no, that's silly, right?
Yeah. And that easily answers the question of why, like your example with the Muslims who you know, have a revelation from God that points to back to scripture. Because I've shared before, my prayer has often been for those in my family or my network who I feel like are the hardest to reach. God, please reveal yourself to them in a way that they cannot deny. How does that come? Through visions, through dreams? Absolutely. A beautiful, just quick, my grandmother, the day she died, we were on a road trip, and she woke up that morning and said, I had the most wonderful dream of picking blueberries with your grandfather in heaven. He had just died. They were married 51 or 2 years. She was just brokenhearted, lays down on the couch, massive heart attack, dies.
Huh.
But beautiful peace, and I think when you mentioned my grace is sufficient, like that was just a beautiful vision to which we see. Same thing with my grandfather just before he died, just peace, visions of peace.
Yep.
And what is the purpose of that? The purpose is because God cares. His grace is sufficient. He walks people through these end of life in so many circumstances. So that answers the question of why the vision, why the dream, why the word. But when it is just meaningless, that's my first red flag. Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
Like, we all know that. Like, thanks for nothing.
Yeah. Or it often is like, oh, God wants to financially bless you, or you're going to do this or that. And it's just kind of like, well, so then that prophecy is so tied up into this whole word of faith, prosperity gospel. I mean, even there's an example here. I know we just keep going. It's just so good. I had a word that it was going to be good today. there was a woman in our church. I just knew it would be. There was a woman in our church that had a dream of this lady that she didn't know, and that she was supposed to encourage this lady. And then she comes to church, and I think I've shared this before. Mm-hmm. And there's the lady from her, that's the lady that was in my dream. I've never met you before. Wow. So she went up to her and said, "This is going to sound crazy, but I feel like I'm supposed to encourage you." And that, and the lady just starts bawling, and that's exactly what she needed. So God totally does that.
Yeah.
But I think that the danger is that. And I hear this all the time. That's supposed to be normal. We're supposed to operate in signs and wonders every single day. And if you're not seeing visions and this and that, then there's something wrong with you. Miracles in the Bible, besides when Jesus came and healed, you know, like everybody, they're very rare, right? They're just not the normal thing. There's a handful of resurrections in the Old Testament, and Jesus raised a few people from the dead, and then he himself was raised from the dead, and then there's a handful in the early church. You know, the guy fell out the window and he was raised from the dead. Other than that, over and over, and you would think if it was meant to be this common thing, then we would read more instruction on how to do that, and we don't. What's the overwhelming instruction in the New Testament? Live righteously. Like, follow what Jesus told you to do. Not like, here's the 8 steps to raise someone from the dead. It's like,
it's more so, here's the 8 reasons on why this world and this life we have is not the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
If you're truly living organically through scripture, you will learn to play the guitar at 80 years old because, you know, there is life after. You know, that's a funny example, but we wrap that up. And I joked before, like, you know, I joked with my wife. She got horribly upset. But I said, if I die, don't pray me back.
That's pretty selfish.
I don't fully understand that. Like, if I'm in the presence of Jesus and you get, you know, exit stage left with a white cane, it's like, you're back in the brokenness of life.
Hey, gee, thank you.
Hey, kids. and that sounds so awful, but if you really stop and think for a moment, like,
yep.
Okay, your loved one is in the presence of Jesus you feel that peace, let's bring him back.
Yeah, let's bring him back.
Surprise.
Jerk move, man.
That's completely
off topic.
Yeah,
off
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Anyways, we should probably wrap this up. This has been an hour and 16 minutes, it says, which is good. And Corlin's late for work, but that's
for any of you that are left, well done.
Well done. You made it through. But to encourage.
Email to get your medal.
Yeah. But to encourage you, I think summarizing, there are not capital P prophets today because we don't need that today. We don't need fresh, new, exciting revelation from God. We have the complete, finished Word of God. And yet the gift of prophecy, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, you should all be doing this. Mm-hmm. So I think the gift of prophecy is if you are in the Word and you are walking with the Holy Spirit, and then you're just in tune with, you know, God will impress upon you, I want you to encourage this person. And then to be obedient in that, that's prophecy. I don't think there's anything, you know, sexy or amazing about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to go to a 3-year school to learn how to prophesy. I don't think prophecy is like, whatever just comes into your mind, say it, and that's prophecy. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like Paul says, it's for the church to build up the church, to encourage and upbuild and for consolation. It's for believers as we do life. And yet God does miraculous things that we can't explain. Mm-hmm. And to be okay with that, but not to then chase after that as I need more of that. Like that's so just to be, I don't know, satisfied in the Word that we have, and yet seek to encourage and, you know, prophesy over people mm-hmm. as God leads you. So, any other last words? Any other fresh words I was going to say? That's terrible.
No, just thinking, yeah, again, about, you know, do not, you know, stifle you know, if you feel the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to speak into someone's life, hold it in tension with biblical accountability, hold it in tension with relationship.
Yeah.
Inspect yourself, your heart, your motive.
Yeah.
And when those things align, then operate in that gift, because that is what we read and that's how we're supposed to live. But don't parachute in on that one gift and ignore the others about, you know, our Christian responsibility and accountability to brothers, sisters in the faith. And then be encouraged in that.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully that's been encouraging to you and maybe cleared up some stuff. And I just want to say, Corland, I feel like I have a word that you have to go to work. True?
False.
False. Anyways, hopefully that's been good, and we will talk to you again next week.